Describe the zone.
The orange and white zone.
Mid-Orange Sunday with Doug Matthews. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
The zone.
Welcome in to Big Orange Sunday. Here we are, May the 20th. Moving towards, well, what hopefully is an excellent summer for everyone. Spring, I guess, ending up now. Today's show all about the three C's: caravans, commitments, cautious optimism, and a few other things all on today's show. Just back from assignment over in Italy. Been gone a couple of weeks. Appreciate Tate doing the show and having a little different types of topics on. Hope you enjoyed that. I talked a lot of football while I was on the trip over to Italy, over in the European area. European style, though. Several SEC folks on board. I had a group from Missouri, a couple of other places, South Carolina, Arkansas. Anyway, I will say this. Italy loves their football, but it's not the football we know here, but they're very all in on it. Don't know much about United States football, certainly collegiate football, but had some good opportunities to visit with some folks back then. Good to be back, though. All right, recruiting and finishing up academically, that is key this month. Going to get into that today. The head coach doing his head coaching duties, what is that? Well, this time of the year, shaking hands, taking pictures, trying to downplay expectations in some instances, play them in others. Meanwhile, those 10 assistants are out there doing all the important grunt work. Important to remember that. Now, let me just remind folks, a head coach cannot be out in the spring. There's a reason why Jeremy Pruitt is not out recruiting, and every other head football coach are not allowed to go out in spring. So what are they doing? Well, they're shaking hands, kissing babies, doing all those types of things. Now is the big time, the key time, for 2019 recruiting. This is when you get everything pretty much in place, who you're going to go after. 90% of the players at Tennessee will be recruiting, again, for the 2019 class. A lot of those have been identified anyway. That'll be solidified now, and then you get into the camps and all those other things. We're going to give an update on that today. The topic of post-spring, grad transfers. There's always something coming out of spring that college football talks about. Speed of play, pace of play a couple of years ago. Targeting rules, things like that. Well, grad transfers, the who's, the why's, the where's, the how's, how's that all going to work? We'll take a look at that today, particularly from the University of Tennessee situation. Tennessee much more active and involved in the, for a better lack of a better term, market of grad transfers. Again, we're talking about graduate transfers that are immediately eligible. Tennessee has a couple of those coming in. At least we'll talk about that a little bit later. And we'll look at today at the transfer situation all around. All phases of transfers, undergrad and grad, kind of in transition right now. We're moving more and more in college football, if not all of college sports. Maybe not to immediate eligibility, but they're certainly lessening and loosening and being less stringent on those rules. We'll talk about that if we have time today. Vol baseball, last series of the season in Columbia, Missouri. Tennessee lost last night. It was a win and in the SEC tournament. Tennessee loses, therefore will not be going to Hoover. Alan Cockrell will join us a little bit later in the show. Also on today's show, I'm going to talk about the new makeup of the Board of Trust, the positives and the negatives. A situation and a topic, an area that I think is of tremendous importance, not only to the athletic department, that's what we talk about on the show, but the overall university. Give a few thoughts on that today. The makeup, I've kind of touched on that before. We didn't have time to get into it too much. And if time allows, we'll take another look at how Tennessee became Tennessee. We'll try to get to all these. If there's some things I leave out, well, we'll get into them a little bit later. One of the things, I did on the trip, didn't take my phone with me, didn't read any newspapers, didn't know anything that went on really with Tennessee or anything else until I got back for the two weeks I was gone. So I did that to kind of get away for a little while. But I did a lot of thinking, how can I make this show better? And one of the things that I'm going to start doing on this show that, quite frankly, radio people, quote, will tell you is not a good idea, is to have a longer first segment. You know, there's a reason why if you listen to much radio, that make any difference what genre it is, what type, sports, music, whatever. Pretty much they go in about 10, 12, 15-minute segments and then take a break. Lots of reasons for doing that. I'm going to go a little bit longer for this one reason. There's several people that tell me, many people, a lot of people that listen to this show also go to early church. I go to a later church after the show. Because of that, they try to sit out in their car and listen to the first segment, maybe hop into church at about 8:30. So I'm going to be doing longer segments in the first segment. That means the rest will be shorter. Hopefully people will enjoy that. CoachDougMatthews.com. I've redone the website. Some of you have looked at it. It's much more interactive. It's going to continue to get better. There's going to be some things that I'm going to do on the website during football season that I'll talk about later. I'm excited about doing. It's got me pumped up to do a few more things and a little bit different type things. Again, getting information to Tennessee fans out there. The CoachDougMatthews.com website is pretty much a Tennessee website. We talk about a lot of things on there, but almost all Tennessee. Going to be doing some interactive things with that. The previous five podcasts are all easy to get to. Now, if you haven't checked it out, check it out, and I'm going to keep you up to date on what's going on from the website standpoint. Again, hopefully getting more information about this program out there. All right, let's kind of start. Academics, recruiting, grad transfers, Board of Trust, how Tennessee became Tennessee, starting with the Neyland era, of course, and then baseball with Alan Cockrell. We'll get to as many of those things as we can get to on that. I want to start with academics. I made a comment on this show when Joe Scoggin was hired, and brings me back to Dave Hart. I think Dave Hart did two extremely important things, at least at the University of Tennessee. Number one, he got contracts under control where the buyouts were not 100% buyouts. We're just going to pay you money to leave. It had a payback in there if you got another job. Every contract that he did, head coach, assistant coaches, had that in there. Very important to start that. And I think it was that's really helped Tennessee. That was a big thing he did. I think that Philip Fulmer is going to continue that. But the other thing he did, he hired Joe Scoggin. The academic, here's what I want you to know. You've heard Joe Scoggin on this show. I've had him several times on this show. We'll have him on again because I know how outstanding he is and how outstanding he's made the Thornton Center, the academic arm of the athletic department. It was a tremendous hire. It was a tough hire. It was somebody that had to really be talked into coming. He had opportunities to go to Oklahoma, many other big universities, decided to come to the University of Tennessee. And this was kind of overlooked. This happened right before I left a couple of weeks ago. Didn't have time to talk about it. And I think the comments that Coach Jeremy Pruitt made were kind of glossed over because it didn't have anything to do with the football team on the field coaching. But he made a comment, and I'm paraphrasing here, and one of the things that we know so far, we've learned so far about Jeremy Pruitt, I don't think he's going to be saying many things just to make people feel good. Right? He's going to pretty much tell you, he ain't going to tell you everything he wants to say probably, but he's going to tell you most of it about players, coaches, where we are, situations, all those different things. But a comment that he made that got kind of glossed over in one of the interviews he had was the fact that it came up about the Thornton Center and the academics, and his comment, paraphrasing here, was this: hey, there were a lot of things that need to be fixed when I got here, a lot of things. But let me tell you one thing that didn't need to be fixed. That's the Thornton Center, the academic arm, the Joe Scoggin area. He didn't mention Joe by name. But he made the comment in there that of all the places that he'd been to, remember, this guy's coached national championship teams at Florida State, certainly at Alabama, was at Georgia for a good period of time. So he's been at three excellent institutions. He made the comment, this is the best academic help area that he had ever been around. Now, that means a lot to me when I think about it from a coaching standpoint. The most difficult thing that I had to do as an assistant football coach for 10 years at Tennessee was when it came to academics. Making sure kids were going to class, making sure they were staying on top of their grades. I'm going to say it probably took 15 to 20% of my day, most days, even during season, making sure that somebody was going to be eligible. We had academic help then, but it wasn't set up like the Thornton Center is. This staff, and I dare say this, the coaching, all of the different sports coaching staff, don't have to worry one thing about academics. It's handled by Joe Scoggin and the Thornton Center. I made the comment, and I kind of made it as an offhand comment after I met Dr. Scoggin and visited. Young guy, energetic guy, impressive young man. I'm going to say he's probably late 30s, maybe early 40s. That's young to me. But I made the comment that, and I said it kind of tongue-in-cheek at the time, that I thought that Joe Scoggin was the best hire that Dave Hart made in the whole athletic department. That included the head football coach at the time. Now, you know, did I really mean it that way? No, but it was an important hire. Looking back on it, it was the best hire he made, because all of the sports that are encompass the University of Tennessee athletic department are working with Joe Scoggin and his group, and they do a phenomenal job. Not talked about enough, not talked about even close enough. But again, when Coach Pruitt said that, it really perked my ears up, because he don't make many comments about things like that, positive. And that is a great thing. So congratulations to Joe Scoggin. We got a great group up there. They've done a wonderful job in that athletic department, and I've got to have him on again on that. All right, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. Where is Tennessee right now? 6-7 commitments. Let me say this about commitments. There is no doubt in my mind, and of those 7 commitments, 4 of them are from the state of Georgia. Not a surprise there. I'll get into that in just a second. 1 from Tennessee, 1 from Alabama, 1 from Mississippi. I'll tell you this, unequivocally, this: Tennessee is in excellent shape in Middle Tennessee recruiting. There are a lot of very fine football players, SEC caliber, championship caliber players in this area right now. There's in the state of Tennessee is much better, but particularly Middle Tennessee. I can tell you this: Tennessee is in excellent shape with about 90% of them. I truly believe that there's a handful of them that have already made up their mind. Probably in some instances have even told the coaching staff that. So I think this is going to be a big year. This is going to be a big year in Middle Tennessee for recruiting. Next year, the 2019 class is even better. But we're now in a position in Middle Tennessee where there are 5 or 6 or 7 players every year coming out of just the Middle Tennessee area who can play at the championship level at Tennessee. We will do, I believe, a tremendous job in that area, because if there's one thing that I don't touch on enough that I should, this is an outstanding, not a good, not a pretty good, not a close to good recruiting staff. This is an outstanding recruiting staff, starting with this head football coach. How good they going to be coaching on the field? Well, from watching them practice, I think they're going to be pretty darn good. We're going to find that out next fall. I know they're better than pretty good. They're damn good at recruiting, particularly recruiting the areas that are important to the University of Tennessee. 7 players are committed all the time. Now, just here's what I want you to think about, because one of the things we're going to see from this head football coach, a remaking of the physicality, the size of this football team. This football team is going to get bigger, taller, longer, in some instances way more. But let's just look at the 7 he's committed. Of the 7 committed, 2 of them are offensive linemen, a 6'6" guy and a 6'4" guy. Both will be over 300 pounds as soon as they get to the University of Tennessee. They're close right now. 2 offensive linemen, 2 defensive linemen. When I talk defensive line, remember now, we're not talking about ends and tackles in a 4-3 look. We're talking about essentially tackles in a 3-4 look. 3 big bodies that play on the tackle and then the nose tackle. 2 of those, a 6'6" guy and a 6'4" guy. Biggest area of concern for this head football coach, I believe, with this offensive team, without question, is the tight end position. Not that there's questions, not questions others. We simply do not have anybody on this football team, with the exception of probably Bumpus, who's been moved around a little bit. That's an online blocking tight end. That was a huge need. Tennessee's already got 2 of those guys committed, a 6'5" guy and another 6'5" guy. So big, physical, tall guys. Are they going to get bigger? Yeah. Are they maybe as physical as you want in high school? No. Do they have the background? Do they have the drive to do that? If they're being committed and signed by the University of Tennessee, I'll tell you this: this head football coach believes that they have that ability. Remember, can't talk about this enough, one of the key things after athletic ability that he's looking for, remember, how often is he kind of slip this in conversations? He wants people, not only coaches, he wants players to whom football means a lot, that are football guys. A gym rat in another sport, basketball. That's the type of guys he wants. My guess is all these guys, they got a wide receiver in there too. Four from Georgia, one from Tennessee, one from Alabama, one from Mississippi. Here's something important to remember. I'm going to get into the makeup of this football team at some point on here. And again, if I run out of time today, I'll continue it later. Looking back, one of the biggest mistakes that the Lane Kiffin coaching staff made when they took over and whenever it was, 2009, whenever it was, Ed Orgeron, remember, I want you to go back then. Coach Kiffin couldn't come in early. He had a, something he had to get done out in California. I forget what it was with. Was it with USC? Anyway, Orgeron came in a little bit earlier. And if you remember, and I remember, about look back on some notes touching on this, we ran off, the athletic body, the football program, ran off a number of football players. Now, some of them probably need to be run off. But that happened really before Lane Kiffin got in town. That put us behind the eight ball, I think, is one of the biggest mistakes that was made. Not that they, some of them, again, didn't need to be run off, but it was an effort to say, hey, we got a new staff in town. We're going to do things different. We're going to run off some guys. And they ran off a bunch of them, put them in a big hole from this standpoint. Some of those guys would have been players eventually. But where it put them in a big hole is, and this is one thing that if you listen to Coach Pruitt talk some, he talks about you need bodies. He's not enamored with the talent on this football team right now. I can tell you that, for championship talent. Coach Pruitt's not. But the one thing that he mentions, we got to have bodies out there. We got to have people out there to work against. Running off players just on a whim, and I think that's what happened, quite honestly, when the Kiffin era began, to make the statement that, hey, we're tough. You know, we're mean. We're ornery. We're all that. They ran off too many football players and put us, potential football players, but bodies. This guy hadn't done that. One of the things, I mentioned this a few shows ago, listen to him coach. I spent the two of the practices that I was up there, the three I was up there. He coaches the defensive secondary, coaches cornerbacks almost exclusively. Listen to him talk. He coaches, but he was coaching guys that don't have a opportunity, in my opinion, of ever probably seeing the field of Tennessee. He coached him just like he did the guy that he probably thinks is going to be the best player on the team or in the secondary. He didn't run players off. I believe he wants them to be players, and he's going to let them decide whether they're going to stay. They'll run their own self off. Heard him tell one kid, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, hey, I'm going to coach you like heck through spring, and after that, it's on you. We got some new guys coming in here, and then you can go down there and be on the scout squad or go to another school if you want to. But we're giving you an opportunity right now. That's the way you coach. Why does he do that? I think it's because he was a high school football coach for all those years. You know, high school coaches don't have the luxury of running players off. Every high school team, even the very best ones, have some players that are playing on that team that really probably aren't good enough to play. You got to find a way to get them to play winning football. I think this guy can do that. Love what he's doing in that instance. But, all right, let's just look at this team. Remember this. We got better players. One of the things I hope you get out of this show is there's a lot of commentary out there about how good this team's going to be, how many we're going to win. I couldn't come close to telling you that. Here's what I can tell you. I truly believe that there are a lot, not enough, but a lot of really good football players on this team. I don't think we've been a well-coached football team. That probably goes without saying. Consider this. We've been a poorly coached football team. I'm going to get into the coaching aspect of it in the next segment. We've been a poorly coached football team. Just think about this. If the previous coach and coaching staff had simply won the games against Florida, just Florida, that they should have won, not could have won, should have won. I'm going to give them the first year. Florida was better. The last 4 years, and Tennessee's won a couple of those, but last 4 years, Tennessee's had an opportunity. They've been a better football team. They've been a better football athletic team than the University of Florida. If Coach Jones would have simply won the games against Florida that he should have won, and we had many opportunities to win those games, big leads into the fourth quarter, really poor coaching cost us those ball games. He probably would have had an extension last year. If we'd beaten Florida last year, I believe he'd probably got an extension to that contract. They'd been fired at the end of the year. I think he'd got an extension if he'd won those ball games. So coaching matters. I'm going to get into the coaching mattering part of it, how important it is as you take a look at the staff that you have, at the group that you have. The head coach matters. who your head football coach is, coaching matters. And I'm talking about coaching on the field, not being talking about putting a whistle around your neck. Assistant coaches matter. They matter more than ever right now. The strength and conditioning coaches matter. The staff analysts that are hired up there matter behind the scenes. The Thornton Center, as we know, matters. Everyone doing their job matters. And if this coach can get that done, and I know that's his goal, he knows one thing. I know I'm correct on of this. He knows what a good football team, TEAM, capital letters, looks like, is made up of, and that's what he's pointing to. But all those things matter. Just simply doing their jobs, those things are extremely, extremely important. I'm going to go another couple of minutes here and then take that break. But think about this. All right, I'm going to give you a little bit later the players. Well, let me just hit this real quickly. Let's look at the players that are returning. Bodies, not only bodies, but players. I'm just talking to the ones that I know are players up there. Do you know that we have 22 second-year players? Some of them are redshirt sophomores. Others are just sophomores. 22 second-year players on this team that are football players, good football players. Great? No, a couple of them could be. Start with Garantano and Chandler and go all the way down. We got 6 offensive linemen on that group that are players. We got 7, 8, 9 of them are defensive players. Do you know that we don't have, you heard me say this a few weeks ago, take out the graduate transfers coming in. Do you know how many seniors we have on the offensive team this year? None. Not a single one. Now, Chance Hall could be a senior. Hopefully he comes back healthy. But he would have another year eligibility if he wants it. 0 seniors on this team. So everybody that's being added to this team now are going to be around at least another year. Those are positive. We didn't have that. If you go back again to the Kipner, we ran off too many players. At that point, again, some of them probably needed to be run off. On the defensive side, we really only have 7 seniors on this team. 5 of them are defensive linemen. 3 of them are our starting three defensive linemen positions. We only have 7 on this whole team. So if you look at it, only 7 seniors are really going to matter. Now, maybe somebody will develop between now and then that's a senior. You know, maybe a Dylan Bates will come along. I've seen it before. I've seen fifth-year players that are there that haven't done hardly anything, if anything. Chris White's the greatest story I can tell you in the 1985 season, fifth-year senior from Cleveland, hadn't done anything his whole career there. If he hadn't have been, came in as a quarterback, if he hadn't been an in-state player, I think Coach Majors would probably have asked him to leave nicely, did not. Ken Donahue got there, coached him up with Ron Zook. He was an All-American football player on that Sugar Bowl team. He wasn't even an afterthought in the spring before. So maybe a Dylan Bates, maybe somebody will come along like that. But the bottom line is this, there's 22 players on this team that are second-year players. There's another 15 that are third-year players, redshirt juniors or regular juniors. That means they have 2 years left. So that's 37 players at least that are going to be around next year. Just in those 2 classes, that include the freshmen that come in. Bottom line is this, we're going to be a better football team, athletic team, than a lot of people think. Are we good enough to compete for the championship this year? No, I don't believe we are. We're playing Auburn, we're playing Georgia, we're playing Alabama this year. 3 of our 5 team games. It's going to be tough to win any of those games because they are better than we are. But you know what? I've seen Tennessee win a lot of football games when they didn't have as good a talent because they were coached better. And I would be willing to put a lot on this thought. This is going to be a well-coached football team. I don't know how good we're going to be at quarterback. I think we're going to be a little bit better than people think. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback. I don't know where everybody's going to end up. They've moved a lot of guys around, but when we tip off or kick off over in Charlotte against West Virginia, this is going to be a well-coached football team. And I think it's going to be a fun team to watch. I think it's going to be a team that's going to win some games that a lot of people don't think we're going to win. We may lose one or two that probably should win. But I think there's been a great start so far. I can't tell you the enthusiasm. Everybody has enthusiasm. I had excitement and enthusiasm every coaching hire. Going back to to Philip Fulmer. They don't all work out. My strong guess, not a guess, my strong inclination here is that this is going to be a well-coached football team because I've watched them practice. I know what they're talking about. All right. Let me do this. I got to do a break here. Todd Tressler, Tressler and Associates. A lot more to talk about in the show. Stick with us. Again, that podcast will be up if you miss any of it. Todd Tressler and Tressler Associates, helping you secure your peace of mind in the state of Tennessee when it comes to anything has to do with anything legal, anything. Wills, litigation, business, estate planning, contracts, whatever it is. If you have a problem, if you have an area you need to be addressed in the legal area, Todd Tressler and Tressler Associates can help you secure your peace of mind. When you go to bed at night, laying your head on that pillow, knowing that, hey, you know what? I got a lot of things to worry about. Good legal representation is not one of them. Tressler Associates.com. That's Tressler Associates.com.
I love my community. And as a doting dad,
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry, owner of Berry's Jewelry Company in historic downtown Madison. You know, engagement and anniversary season is here. And if you're thinking of popping the question this year, Berry's Jewelry Company has the answer. At Berry's, we feature a tremendous selection of quality diamond engagement rings and bridal sets, often up to 50% less than other retail jewelers. So if you have a big anniversary coming up, please stop by to check out the selection of exquisite diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anniversary rings, or even an upgrade for her current bridal set. Berry's carries a huge selection of ring settings, and you can even select your own center diamond. Thrill her with the best from Berry's, and do your budget a favor. Don't pay retail. So come on over to Berry's and see for yourself what clients for many years have discovered. Berry's Jewelry Company for quality, value, selection, and service. You just can't do better than Berry's. Visit us today in Madison at berriesjewelryco.com or Facebook.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Our customers know that Mid-South Business Furniture is the office furniture expert in Middle Tennessee. But did you know that we are also an experienced office design firm as well? Our office design staff will amaze you. We can also meet your office supply needs with next day delivery. Our online ordering is quick and easy. Give us a call at 297-5654 or visit our website at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. Mid-South Business Furniture. Fun jingle, serious business.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Welcome back into Big Orange Sunday. We're brought to you, of course, as always, by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Franklin American Mortgage, where it all begins at home. Interested in any type of information about the mortgage industry, buying a new home, refinancing? They're the folks to go to, Franklin American Mortgage. All right, let's kind of finish up on some recruiting stuff here. And some of that has to do with the grad transfer situation. A lot of talk out there about what Tennessee's going to do in the grad transfer situation. We know we got two coming in. Got a quarterback coming in. We got a running back coming in that are grad transfers, one-year guys. I have no doubt that they're also looking for some other grad transfers. One of the things that you find out coming out of spring, and this staff knows exactly or has a pretty good idea exactly who they think can help them, who maybe can't help them right now, who needs to be developed, who needs to get better. All of them need to get better, but significantly better to be able to help this football team next fall. Grad transfers are one of the things we're looking at. It's something that if you take advantage of can be excellent for you. Is Tennessee looking at others? Yeah, I believe they are. Will they bring him in? I don't know, and I don't know that Coach Pruitt knows for sure right now. Probably got a pretty good idea. It's going to have to be a fit. But just know this. There's a reason why the two grad transfers are coming in this year. Chris, we know why, even if he's not the starter. My gut feeling is right now, quite frankly, I think Garantano's going to be tough to get out of that starting position. I think Jarrett Garantano's a better football player than many of us, including me, think he is. But Chris is going to have an opportunity there. Whoever starts, well, they're going to be, I think, coached up enough to be able to help this team, get this team in a position to win. London was brought in because Tennessee, the one thing Tennessee does not have in the running back, got some really fine running backs. Not a really big back, a power back. That tells you a little idea about the direction that this head football coach wants to go in. So if he brings somebody in, there's been some talk about an offensive lineman, maybe a few other positions. If he brings somebody in, it's because he thinks he needs someone to win this year, help him win this year. And that's all. These are stopgap people. They're kind of a poor man's junior college player, if you will. You get a junior college player for 2 years most times, sometimes three. You get a grad transfer. There are a few of them out there that have 2 years, but most of them have 1 year left. So they're kind of a stopgap. Come in and help us win. Now, the downside of that is this. Because of the scholarship limits, Tennessee had roughly 21 scholarships to give this year off the 2018 class. So anybody that comes in, some of those guys are going to have to be counted on next year's. And I'm not going to get into all the hows and whys. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're going to have to take some off the 25 next year. So here's the quandary for Coach Pruitt. Do I bring somebody in that's going to help me this year and then get 1 year out of them? Is that going to make me a better program going forward? Or would it be better to hold that scholarship for next year? That's a decision. I don't know anybody that can tell you what he's going to do on that because I'm not sure he's decided 100%. But I trust the guy that he's going to do what he thinks is best. So, grad transfers, you got those coming in. That's going to be something that's going to be a part of college football for a while, the grad transfer situation. Tennessee has two. The makeup of the team right now, it's better. I think much better than people think it's going to be. Listen, let me just kind of build on. There are three teams we're playing. I don't know that much about West Virginia, except they're a good football team. I know this. If we are a well-coached football team, and if we're relatively healthy, we'll give them all they want over in Charlotte. There's a difference in playing in this league and playing in other leagues, regardless of what other leagues think about that. But listen, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia are three very fine football teams. All three were in position to play for a national championship last year. Remember, Auburn, the odd man out in that group, beat both Georgia and Alabama in the regular season. They got a lot of people coming back, which brings me to my next point. If you listen to yesterday's show, here's the overall reason why Georgia, Alabama, and Florida are where they are right now. There's two things that just head up everything else. There's a lot of things that are built into this, but you better be able to do two things. Number one, you better have a really good defense. Hopefully you can have a great defense, but you better be really good. You better be well coached. You better know how to tackle. Georgia, Alabama, Auburn all have that. All three, just think about this. Just think about this. Philip Fulmer got down to three people that he was considering to hire at the University of Tennessee. I think he liked all three of them. All three of them were defensive coordinators, and they came from Alabama last year, Georgia, Auburn. That tells you they're well coached. They're guys that he considered to be the finalists to be the head coach at the University of Tennessee. So defense, gotta be defensive. And then secondly, you gotta have a quarterback. And all three of those have quarterbacks, different styles of quarterbacks. Alabama's got a couple of them. So defense and a quarterback. Where are we gonna be on defense? You look at the spring game, you say we ain't gonna be very good. I bet you we're gonna be pretty good on defense, particularly if we get anywhere near the health we can get to. Quarterback, I think we're going to be okay at quarterback. A lot of quarterback is, and I use this example many times, you know, Peyton Manning was a great championship-winning quarterback. Tim Tebow was a great championship-winning quarterback. They were as different as night and day the way they played, so you build your team around what you have. Tennessee wouldn't have ran the offense that they ran with Peyton Manning if Tim Tebow would have been here. Florida wouldn't have ran the offense that they ran with Tim Tebow if Peyton Manning had been there. So They'll build an offense around this guy, whoever it is, whichever one it is, they'll build an offense around him. I don't think there's no doubt in my mind about that. So that's kind of the situation with the grad transfer part of it. Looking at what they're going to, are they going to bring some? I get to ask this a lot. I don't know who they're going to bring in. They may bring in one or two. You certainly have to believe they're looking at the cornerback situation. That tight end and cornerback is the least athletic and talented. They're the problem areas on this football team right now. You got to believe they're looking there. Have they seen somebody there? Well, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he brought in a grad transfer for 1 year in one area, but in another it would, because I think he knows that, hey, we're going to be as competitive as we can be this year, but nobody's going to judge Jeremy Pruitt on wins and losses this year. I don't care if he wins 4 or if he wins 8 or 9 or 10. He's going to be judged on how this football, we all will know what a good football, we know what a good football team looks like. One of the things that I love about Tennessee fans is they know when a kid's giving effort. They know when you line up right. They know when you're looking over the side and look confused. They know when the head coach is raising hell with the officials instead of coaching the football game. They know when you have to use a timeout because somebody didn't get a play in on right or didn't have enough players on the field. Well, I think this team's going to be extremely well coached. We'll see. Let's take another break before got a little bit behind here. A lot more to talk about. Board of Trust and a few other things coming up. Double Dogs. Great. I'm going to call it a family sports bar. I don't know exactly what Dan Davis and the folks up there call it, but it's a family-oriented, entertainment-oriented sports bar. They got a lot of great food, and I've had much. They got two locations here in Nashville, by the way, Hillsborough Village and Sylvan Heights. They're also up in Bowling Green. This show's heard well up there. They're up in Knoxville. Lots of locations. You can go on their website and find out all about them. They're what their menu is, the doubledogs.biz. I particularly like the turkey breast sandwich. I'm not a big mac and cheese guy, but they got good mac and cheese. They got a lot of great food there. It's a scratch house. That means that everything is made fresh daily at Double Dogs. Check them out. One right down here in Hillsborough Village. I've been to 4, 5, 6 times. TV's all over the place. Great entertainment, in and out. One of those places a lot of people go to. Check them out at doubledogs.biz.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the 3 area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need 4 of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World and look him up at tireworld.us.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Family law, a very specialized area of law in Tennessee. Burt McCarter at MCELaw.com has handled thousands of cases over the past 18 years in this very specialized field. Understanding divorce and separation, child custody, child support and visitation, father's rights and alimony, all these areas Bert has spent his entire adult life working with and for families right here in Middle Tennessee. If you're facing one of these situations, let Bert help you. His website, mcelaw.com. Welcome back into Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Franklin American Mortgage, where it all begins with home. Alan Cockrell will join us here in about 5 or 6 minutes. I did want to just start the conversation and a topic I'm going to be talking about in future shows. You know, we got some downtime coming up here. Not a whole lot to talk about from a football standpoint, other than history and a few other things. Once we get through really April. And May. So we'll be talking about those. I'm really going to dig into this later, but I want to kind of touch on it today because I haven't had the opportunity, the time to do it. And I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about the Board of Trust situation. If you've listened to this show over the years, you know my feelings on the Board of Trust. It has nothing to do with the people that were on there. It was the way it was set up. The Board of Trust should be an oversight group for the University of Tennessee. Forget about all the other universities. Same thing there. Has not been. I'm going to dig into that in future shows. But let me just tell you what's up. Governor Haslam, Bill Haslam, has, I think, made a very good decision here. And I've talked to former, current, past people greatly involved at the University of Tennessee Board of Trust members, different varying opinions on this. Let me tell you what I truly believe, though, from talking to those people. I've talked to people that know Bill Haslam extremely well. To lump him in and say that, you know, some things have happened at the University of Tennessee, maybe some of you, maybe I don't like, from a donor situation, I don't think is fair. I believe he's done something here that he felt was right for the University of Tennessee system. We'll see. But I believe that he's done it for the right reasons. We're down now from 27 board members or 12, or we will be July 1st when this goes into effect. 10 of those 12 are appointed by the governor. They must be approved by the legislature. Boy, do we know that. And also, you got the Commissioner of Agriculture, who is a voting member, and a non-voting student. So that's the makeup of this board. 12 people, 10 appointed by the governor, current governor, whoever the governor is at that time. The Commissioner of Agriculture will be on that board. He'll be voting, and a non-voting student. 5 of the 10 appointees have been approved right now. 4 of those are current or past CEOs of big companies in the state, presidents of major companies, plus Kara Lawson's on there. The new board makeup, they can be from anywhere. The old board makeup, you had to have at least one person from, they'd all be from within the state of Tennessee. Probably sounds good, bad idea in my opinion. I can name you a handful of people who live outside this state that would be tremendous board people. But anyway, that can happen now. They don't have to come from a legislative district. 5 of the 10 must be University of Tennessee graduates, at least 5 of the 10. So that means you don't have to be a University of Tennessee graduate. Is that good or bad? I don't know. I know some people that are tremendously supportive of the University of Tennessee that never took a class up there. All, I think, good decision here. Now, what are the pluses and minuses? What are the pros and cons so far? And again, we're going to get into this in future shows. Number one, I don't think there's any doubt this is going to help the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. It's a good move for the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. How's it going to affect UT Martin? How's it going to affect UT Chattanooga? Because there have been designated board members in the past of those 27 that were on there specifically to help those, the Martins, the Chattanooga, also the UT Memphis, you know, the medical center down there. That's not going to be a priority now. Not saying it can't work, but that's a downside. Helping to get people on there who have the time to do it. You don't have to be a graduate. You don't have to live in Tennessee. I think those are positives. There's some outstanding people. You know, they were back when there was some talk about Peyton Manning being on the board of Tennessee. They had to get a waiver for him to be on it because he didn't live in Tennessee. Going to again build on this a little bit later. Here, just finally, I want you to think about this. Here's what everybody I've talked to that's done this in the past tells me this. You better be able, have the ability in your job or whatever you're doing to give 15 to 20 hours per month to the University of Tennessee, 3 or 4 hours a week. You don't get any pay. You get some perks. But if you're not willing or have the ability to do 15 to 20 hours of hard, detailed work for the University of Tennessee, you probably don't need to be on this board. I hope we're getting to where we're there. I have no problem with, you know, if some, they asked me to be on the University of Tennessee board, I'd probably say yes for the honor of it. Would I be willing to put in the 15 to 20 hours? Probably not. So I wouldn't take the job, wouldn't take the appointment. But that's what's needed there. What's this board's responsibility? Remember this. Here's what we got to get back to and do a better job. Number one is oversight. Number two, they hire the president. You can read the responsibilities. We're going to be hiring a new president at the University of Tennessee. And then the third thing is they're supposed to be transparent, where we know what's going on up there. Not everything that's going on. They're supposed to be transparent. We hadn't had that. I'm going to build on that a little bit later. Let me take a quick break. Alan Cocker will join us here in just a second. Hey, American Home Design. You've heard me talk about Don Bruce and the folks up there. They do a tremendous job at, well, doing what they did for my home. I'd owned it for 25, 26 years. It was new when I bought it. I needed some things to be replaced. My wife and I had all of our windows replaced. We had our patio doors replaced over time. This is over a three-year period. We had our entry doors replaced. We're going to have another entry door, the front entry door, replaced here next. Done with exceptional workmanship. Couldn't be happier with the people who came out and represented American Home Design. 615-361-6100. From personal experience, I can tell you, these folks back up what they say. Their guarantee is their guarantee. They mean what they say, at least in my instance on that, and you can talk to other people, tell you the same thing. They're open today from 1 to 5. Get on up there and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville, or go online at AmericanHomeDesign.com.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at ClintNewmanDDS.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President, Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, it's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office, your response is fast, you're easy to do business with. If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
You know, I think it's time for the talk.
I'm a little old for the talk.
No, I mean we'll be 65 soon, so let's talk about the costs not covered
by Medicare.
Yes.
And we don't want to be caught off guard, so we need Medicare supplements from someone trustworthy?
Yes. So now, when are we going to talk?
Well, I think we just did.
Have questions about Medicare supplements? See our videos at fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office. Farm Bureau Health Plans. We've got you covered.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. At Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at stoversliquidation.com. Stover's.
Welcome back into Big Orange Sunday. Let's get right to Alan Cockrell, talk a little Vol baseball. Alan, big game yesterday. Many would dub it, I guess, win and end. Tennessee loses at Missouri at Columbia 8-3. Will not be going to the SEC tournament. I think I read Morgan Alexander, my producer, mentioned, I think with 12 wins, it's the most wins for a team that did not get to Hoover. I guess that's a small consolation. But anyway, kind of hit what you watched in this series, and also we'll talk a little bit about where Tennessee is right now.
Well, I think, you know, it's some of the things that we've talked about all along. They play with a lot of heart, and they don't give up. They continue to grind, and when you think they're down and out, they come back swinging. And they did that in this series. I think what happened in this series is it just showed that to compete in the SEC, you have to have depth, and especially in pitching. And I think that was probably the biggest thing that Tennessee lacked as Missouri took that series two games to one.
Alan, you watch a lot of baseball. You've coached it. You've lived it really, I would say, probably all of your life. And kind of you've really taken a real close look at the University of Tennessee baseball program. Now, a new coach, Coach Allen, the first year he's been there. I know that you've been very, very well. You've heaped a lot of praise for what you think on this young pitching staff. Give me just a couple of areas or an overall thought on, obviously you have to get better every year, but where does Tennessee need to make significant jumps to be able to compete for the championship in this league?
Pitching wise, they need to create depth. When you look at the Floridas and the Georgias and the Ole Misses and the Arkansas of this conference, they have depth. And when they get past their top two guys in the bullpen, they have bridges to get to their closer, their ninth inning guy to close it out and seal a win. Tennessee lacks that. They have some arms, I believe, in their bullpen. But they just need to pitch, and they need to, and we've talked about this several times, to develop, you have to pitch or you have to play. And I think what Tennessee needs to do at this point in time is send the Lingenfelters, the Crochets, and the Stallings, Hundley. They need to go pitch summer ball somewhere and work on a specific thing that's going to make them a better SEC pitcher. But also, you need to get guys like Benoit, Schultz, Wallace, Plummer, Walsh. They need to go pitch too. They need innings. They didn't pitch a lot of innings, and they pitched kind of sporadically throughout the year. So they need to go pitch somewhere in summer ball, and they need to go work on commanding the baseball and trusting their stuff. Also too, they have a little lefty, Will Heflin. And I would try to find a team for him to go play on this summer. And he's that crafty little lefty that's got the heart of a mountain, doesn't give in, comes right at you. But I would ask him to go maybe consider throwing from different arm angles, becoming that lefty specialist that can come in and get the big burly left-hander out with runners at second and third, and you got to get that bridge to your ninth inning guy, your stopper.
It kind of build on that, Alan. That's one thing that I don't think many people, well, I'll speak for myself, I don't understand. Talk about how we know, how do you get better in football? How do you get better in basketball? You have some, the in basketball, you have the where you can go play, you have some 7-on-7. But baseball, you mentioned teams to play for. Give us some examples of where college players go to get better in summer.
Well, the two big leagues in summer ball is the Cape League up in the Cape Cod area, the Alaskan League. Summer teams they play up there. I believe Coach Ron Polk is one of the coaches in the Cape Cod, but there's various leagues all over. The Jayhawk League in Kansas. There was a Shenandoah Valley League. There are leagues in California. There's numerous college leagues for kids to go play and continue to compete and develop their skills.
Did you give us an idea of the length of time they're there and maybe how many games they'll play, or is it about playing games? When you say pitching, obviously it is it about instruction and length of time there, about how long are they gone for?
You can be gone as long as up to 2 months. But The instruction is usually, you know, they're going to have college coaches coaching and instructing the players. You know, I think every school that sends players to these leagues, I'm sure that they would be, and I would be, in contact with the coaches that are going to be there. For example, if I'm sending a couple of pitchers to a guy, I'm going to give this guy a call. We're going to talk about the things that this particular kid has worked on and some particular areas in which this kid needs to improve. And let's take Garrett Crochet, for example. He thrived in the bullpen role. And the reason he did is because as a bullpen guy, you can get away with two pitches. To be a starter, he needs to develop a changeup. And for him to be effective in the SEC and for Tennessee, his best role in the future is going to be as a starter. He was a true freshman. He was pitching at 89 to 92, touch 93. You know, that velocity is only going to improve, but you need to be able to throw changeups to righties. He has a workable curveball. His slider could be a little tighter and more effective, but the big pitch for him is developing a changeup. So I would call that pitching coach and I would say, hey, you know what? In every outing, if he's going to throw 60 pitches as a starter, I need him to throw 15 to 20 changeups every outing. And, you know, again, it's that fine line between developing players and their skills that they need to compete and then, you know, going out and actually competing and winning.
Alan, great stuff. I really want to get into this in future shows since the season will be over and kind of talk about the individuals, what you're seeing there and where Tennessee's improving in. But appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Have a good day.
Alan Cockrell joins us each Saturday to talk SEC baseball. And then on Sunday, really some good stuff there. That Alan's really obviously has that strong background as a hitting instructor, but also as a hitting instructor, you don't know what pitchers are doing too. Before we get out of here, let me talk to you about Mid-10 Ford. Almost 50 years in business selling Ford trucks. If you're a truck person, you're more than likely a Ford truck person. You need to visit their sales department to get a free fleet analysis on anything you do. They specialize in commercial vehicles. Their vehicle inventory has custom upfits to meet any of the business needs, you know, maybe those extra things that you need. Mid-10 Ford carries all four sizes of the Ford Transit, from the Transit Connect all the way up to the heavy-duty high-roof Transits. They have the number one diesel technician in the area. Their service technicians have hundreds of years, and they have a service department that is exceptional, a parts department that is exceptional, always $1 million in parts. They have a collision center and even a 65-foot paint booth that can handle any of the needs that you have in those areas. And as I mentioned, their parts department, they stock Ford parts along with heavy-duty Cummins, Detroit Diesel, and Caterpillar parts. So they're the company for you. Mid10FordTrucks.com. Check them out. Mid10Ford. All right, that does it for another show. We got a lot that we're going to be talking about in future shows. I touched on the Board of Trust. I'm going to get into more, and have not had time to get into the Neyland stuff yet and the foundation of the University of Tennessee. We'll talk about that in the future. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week on Big Orange Sunday.